And 6.5 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman on this Wednesday afternoon. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, today we begin with certified trust and financial advisor Jacqueline Harris Chido. She's the founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida, and we'll discuss how she addresses the needs of seniors, from guardianships to health care advocates and complex trust arrangements. She joins us from Palm Beach County. Welcome to you, Jackie Chido.
Well, thank you.
Are you on a speakerphone?
I was. I'm not any longer.
Okay, good.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi. So you say you fill a void in the industry. Would you give us a thumbnail of Elder Services of Florida and when it started and a little bit about what you do? We'll get to more details later on.
Okay. So I was a trust officer for 20 years. My clients stayed with me and aged. And as they did, I began to help them with the day-to-day tasks and challenges they were facing. Many had children in other states, other countries. Some had no children. And so I came up with a model in my mind that at some point I was going to try, and I started it for real about 4 years ago. We basically are not an agency. So the agencies are out there and they do feel a need, but there's a huge difference between needing a home health aide and needing help with your taxes, help with your bill pay, sorting your mail, making sure that your insurance coverage doesn't lapse or that you're not paying too much for it, hiring eventually a live-in if you want to stay in your home and how that's done. So there's a lot of issues. Some people don't like their children. Some people want a local advocate to go to the hospital, go to the doctor's appointments, and then communicate with their children. We do so much more than just send in an aide. Today, I just got in 2 minutes ago. The family has long-term care insurance and have never used it. They don't want to use it because they have someone they like who's private, and she refuses to go through an agency. So this is a big dilemma for the children.
What agencies are you talking about? You referred to that earlier.
Home health agencies. In other words, that's not what we do.
Okay. So in...
What specifically home health agencies? I'm sorry.
Oh, there's hundreds. I work from Miami to Vero, and I would say there would be no fewer than 500 home health agencies that provide aides.
I see.
They can be CNAs or HHAs, which is home health aide, and those are the two minimal requirements to be a home health aide, but that's the difference.
You just mentioned one of the things I wanted to ask you about is about their health insurance needs. Do you have those who understand, for example, the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits, long-term
all
health
of that.
Insurance? You do.
All of that. All of that I addressed in one way or another throughout my career, even to the point of an ex-husband with no money and the trust client asking me to put him on Medicaid. That was my first experience about 15 years ago. Placement into skilled care, into assisted living, into independent living. So we have veterans. My closest assistants and my backup is a veteran. She loves to help the veterans, and she knows the VA system inside and out.
Hmm. So at what age do most of your clients engage your services?
Way after they need me.
Ah.
In other words, they should engage me when there's a medical episode or they hit about 80. When they actually engage me is when there's a major medical episode and they're about 85 to 90.
Now, Elder Services of Florida is a for-profit
absolutely
organization. So I suppose people of low income, how do they fare then, who can't afford it?
I have a lot of low-income people. They, too, need the same care that somebody that's wealthy. Their options are different, but just like a wealthy person, they don't know where to go to get all the facts and figures. They don't know what they're entitled to, what they're not entitled to. Medicaid in Florida just changed dramatically, and I had heard that it was going to, but it really didn't affect our Medicaid applications until about June or July, when we had to become now experts on all these changes.
How about the future of boomers, of course, who are rapidly maturing, who have little assets and no health insurance?
Well, the articles you read, and they are out there on an ongoing basis, is that we have a shortage. We will have a shortage of everything, a shortage of places for them to go for care, a shortage of money for them to stay in their home. I run into 75-year-olds that have two mortgages on their home, and they've run their credit cards up trying to maintain their lifestyle. So they may live in a beautiful neighborhood, but when you sit down and talk to them about taking care of one or the other, due to a stroke or some kind of other chronic illness, they aren't prepared in any way.
So you don't offer medical care per se. You arrange all these.
Arrange. That's a very good word. I coordinate medical care. I am a member of the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers, and I got that so that doctors and nurses would pay more attention to me, but it's not really meaningful to the senior. They're looking for assistance, and so are their adult children or relatives. And I know a lot about the entire medical environment here.
Now, you also know a lot about the financial environment. Do
Yes.
many of your clients, you say, find you when they've had a medical emergency? Do they also find you when there's a financial crisis in their
Yep.
life?
Absolutely. And most of the time, that's going to be the son or daughter.
Right.
You know, saying, Mom, I didn't think she'd ever live this long, and all of a sudden, we are running out of money. And what do we do next? How do we do it?
Hmm.
What are my options?
It's pretty common knowledge that seniors in Florida are vulnerable and often the object of these financial scams. How big a problem have you discovered that the financial scams are right now?
Well, the financial scams are out there, and they're a huge problem, but the fraud on the, or the abuse, that's what I, the word I was looking for, the abuse on the elderly is not tapped. In other words, people are not measuring it because so many people go under the radar and you would never suspect them. I recently got off a case where I was an emergency guardian for a 90-year-old who had gotten caught up in the Jamaican lottery scheme, and over the course of 6 to 8 months had pretty much given them about $100,000. Mm. And it was his nephew from Michigan who stepped in to try to stop him on more than one occasion, and when he could not stop him, he went to an attorney, and they in turn found me.
Of course, I guess some of these children, of course, are looking at themselves as heirs and not having, having these people blow this money away that could wind
Absolutely.
Up going to them.
But sometimes, isn't it a family member who's actually stealing from
Yes.
the parent?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
What were you going to say before, I'm sorry I interrupted you, when Joe said about the children are the heirs, so they don't want...
I have a mantra, it's always about the money, which means that when we sit down with families, I have to determine from a family dynamic, who controls the money, who is going to inherit the money, and what does the money mean to them? Because once I determine that, then I can determine how much I can help these people, because in many cases when the son or daughter feels that it's their money you're spending instead of their parents, they don't want their parents to have that level of care.
Right. So what happens in that case? I know of a case like that. What does one do?
I actually try to look for ways to minimize the cost and stay connected as much as possible to the family. I try to find, any kind of entitlements or any kind of cost-saving measures to help them stay in the home if that's where they want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But many times you just run into a wall. Recently we had a lady whose son just swooped in and took her to wherever he is. Now he's not equipped to take care of her, has no idea what he's about to embrace, but couldn't imagine spending any kind of money on his mom.
because he thought of it as his own.
As his. Absolutely. Mm.
So those are cases where there's not something nefarious going on, but in the case where a child is actually stealing from the parent, that must get awfully complicated.
It's very nasty, and many times it's discovered by a sibling. In other words, there's always the one that's the failure to launch, you know, the one that didn't quite make it, and then one or two that did. So the one that didn't quite make it is usually the one that winds up taking care of mom or dad or both, and that's the one that usually starts seeing that they don't pay attention to their statements, that there's a possibility of taking money and they'll never miss it, and then it's a sibling's visit or suspicion, and then we see the controversy between the two or the three, and they all get lawyers, and it turns into a nightmare.
I suppose the one sibling that's sort of saddled with the parent and taking care of them on a day-to-day basis, they sort of feel more entitled.
Entitled, absolutely, because they're there.
We're speaking with Jackie Chido, and the name of her company is Elder Services of Florida. On today's Topical Currents, we are going to open the phones and the emails, but we need to take a short break. Please stay with us, and we'll return.
And we return. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman is today's Topical Currents. 19 minutes past 1 o'clock, we're speaking with Jacqueline Harris Chido. She's the founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida. We're discussing some of the problems of, how would you describe it, Bonnie?
Well,
of aging
and of being disabled and
if you'd like
illness.
If you'd like to participate, you're certainly welcome. 1-800, I guess I had a senior moment there, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also, you can email. That's radio@WLRN.org. We'll be glad to take your call. I'm sure we have many in our listening audience who have questions about the financial and medical side of aging. Tell me, Jackie Chido, how about Medicaid counseling? Do you go
Medicaid
there?
Medicaid counseling is very important because people don't realize, the adult children don't realize that it's perfectly normal to look at Medicaid for a future possibility, especially if you are in a position that you already know that these funds may not last and you want to preserve some, not so much for inheritance purposes as much as to provide additional care for your loved one. Because if you spend down, and I have a neighbor doing this who won't talk to me, he thinks there's something wrong with looking to Medicaid, but if he spends down all of her money and she qualifies for Medicaid and he has to place her somewhere, then all she has to spend a month is $35, and that means that's for her hair to be done, her nails to be done, any clothing, any incidentals that she might need would obviously have to come out of his pocket or someone's pocket if it won't be bought for $35 a month. So I would, as an adult child, preserve as much as I could to provide someone as an advocate for that mother to go in there when both of these people work, husband and wife, and it's his mother. You know, don't just stick her somewhere and go away, and you can't visit constantly, but you could preserve money to send an aide in there, somebody, a companion, somebody to talk to her, to read to her, to take her outside and see the sunshine. That's not going to happen if you spend down and all she has is $35 a month.
And the $35 a month comes from?
That's the allotment that Medicaid gives each person on Medicaid in a skilled facility.
Are there people who act as sort of guardian ad litem advocates for people?
Well, guardian ad litem applies to a completely different aspect of law and guardianship. There are people that can be the named payee and actually assist, but most of the Medicaid is taken and Social Security is taken by the facility, and the facility maintains that $35. So if they happen to have a relative in the area who can come in and oversee how it's spent, otherwise they have to know or try, they being the facility and who runs it, to find a relative, but it's more of a reporting if there's no one coming in. And there's many people in that situation. that just have nobody here, and that's where they wind up.
I'm just thinking, does it ever happen, or how frequently does it happen, I should say, that you come in and the children are resentful?
Oh, always, almost.
Really?
No. I would say 50% of the time.
Okay.
It depends on who actually reaches out to me.
Right.
The family I saw today, their daughter reached out to me. She's in New York and concerned, but she does make an appointment to come here every 2 months and check on her parents. Both of them in need, not severely. Her father's 97, the mother's 94, and they still live in their home. But they do have help. But she just felt that there was a reason that I needed to go in and kind of see what was going on and evaluate her situation, their situation, and then try to offer some suggestions on making them as safe and keeping them as independent as possible, which is our goal.
How about seniors who live alone? They perhaps don't have any children. They've outlived all their relatives, and they're essentially just on their own. How does
about 50% of my clients are you just described? And I'm not even sure how they find me, but I do get calls from people I used to work with, that sort of thing. But the ones that don't call and the ones that are out there that I don't know about, but I know they're out there, become extremely paranoid that their doctor's going to declare them incompetent or that somebody's going to take their driver's license away. And so their world becomes extremely small. They're usually very depressed. Depression is rampant among our seniors. And they usually wind up only staying in touch with someone like a CPA, an attorney, or a neighbor who may wind up having to make a call to, one of the elder abuse hotlines or, some DCF. Somebody's going to be called at some point to go in there. And I do get called occasionally to go in a situation like that where they've just completely made their world so small that they're like hermits and they literally don't go out. And in one case, the neighbor was going to the grocery store and would stop by and bring food in, but there was never, this person had just totally stopped going outside.
How do you deal with the depression?
I think drugs are wonderful. No.
Yeah.
It's modern technology. Medical science has improved so much in the last 30 years. I'm also a licensed mental health therapist and an addiction counselor, so I will tell you there's no reason for depression to be so bad that you don't want to live, that you don't want to socialize. And we try to get the right people, it's not always a psychiatrist, sometimes it's a neurologist, sometimes it's both, to help us get this person out of their slump.
Well, especially if they've lost their ability to drive,
right.
That must be such a huge factor.
It's huge for men, not as huge for women.
Oh.
But men, it's who they are almost. It's their identity. It's, it takes away so much. Women, if they've been single all their lives, it means as much to them. But women that have been married, children, they're not wanting to hurt anybody else. The men think they never will.
Right. They're a little more sensible.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in our conversation, we're speaking with Jacqueline Harris Chido. She's the founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Bonnie will also take your email. That's radio@WLRN.org. So we'll shift to Robert in Miami. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, I've been an advocate for elderly people for 11 years, and many of these people, like Jackie, I don't know her personally, but many of these guardians and people, they absolutely abuse and exploit the elderly people. And this is a big problem that we have in this country. We have the Government Accountability Office that did a study on September 30th, 2010, and said that these attorneys and guardians are going in and exploiting $1 trillion a year from the American people around this country.
Let's let her respond to that, Robert.
Robert, yeah. I totally agree with you that the power and the authority and people that get in those places and positions, there's major abuse going on, which was, again, one of my reasons that the minute I got out of the corporate world, I went to school and became a professional guardian, because I saw my clients with these people who didn't care who they were and didn't know who they were. And I will tell you that it's not only the professional guardians, or not as much the professional guardians, as people who pretend to be a close friend and they get named by the judge to be the guardian. That's who you should target if you don't like people. And the attorneys, I'm not an attorney. I have to work with them. I do work with them. They should not name themselves as guardians, but many of them do.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this is the problem, okay? We have about 500 cases a year that people are being stripped of their civil rights, and nobody should be stripped of their civil rights because they grow older. Now, I don't know, but if you're a guardian, you know, so far, after 11 years, okay, I know there's South Florida guardianship, I know the people in Miami, Barbara Reiser and Vicki Braille. I know all these people and attorneys in Miami and Broward County that they're preying on these elderly people. They're rushing in. Now, 99% of these people are competent.
Robert, I have to stop you. You're almost libeling people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On our 99. Air, and we really can't stand for that. So I think I'm going to have to
say
goodbye. No, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you.
99%.
We can't have him calling people thieves
people's
on the
names.
Air.
No, that mm-hmm. wouldn't be very
right.
nice.
That's libel, and we're not going to stand for that.
Right.
Well, we do have other callers. I just wanted to ask you, I heard you mention, Jackie, that alcohol abuse is a major problem among seniors.
Yes.
Where does that come from? Does that come from the fact that they're depressed? And
Yes. And many of these people didn't drink anything but socially when they were younger. They were never heavy drinkers. They were never partiers. They just simply got to a point in life that a little wine helped them relax. You know, a 5 o'clock cocktail they'd have with their next door neighbor. And then the depression, you know, the just trying to accept that their body doesn't work as well as it did, the medical issues they face.
The loneliness, I would think.
The loneliness is huge. And that's the part that I see changing someone's life. In other words, if we can provide a companion and I can match somebody up that's a personality that they can talk to, that they can understand, that they can discuss travel or discuss art or discuss horses. You know, if I can find that person, the difference in their lives is huge. It makes everything I do worthwhile when I see that.
Let's take a quick call before we take our break. Jenny in Redland. Hi there.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I have a 96-year-old father who's lived with me for 12 years. I did get him connected to, he was depressed at first. He used some medication, you know, after my mother died 12 years ago. But eventually, you know, I told him he had to connect with other people, get connected to the senior agencies, you know, where he would go out and the senior lift and some other agencies where he goes and plays bridge 6 days a week now. And I connected him to the special transportation services. And he now has a much fuller life than he did actually when my mother was living, because he was caring for her and she was demented.
Mm.
But I also got him, because my sister learned about the nursing home diversionary program
mm-hmm.
in the state of Florida.
Yes.
And I have an aide who comes in 6 days a week for a couple hours and does, you know, gives me some, what do you call it, respite, you know, takes
mm-hmm.
care of him in the morning, cleans his room, prepares his breakfast, or helps him with his breakfast and lunch, and I do the rest. And it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. I didn't expect my father to live 12 more years, and now I'm thinking maybe he'll make 100.
Probably.
But,
Jenny, could you, what is that, the nursing home diversionary program?
It's called the Medicaid Diversion Program.
I see.
You said something about Medicaid had changed, and I was mm-hmm. wondering if you were speaking of that, because I do think there may be some limitations on that program. He was one of the initial people to get access to it. I was just wondering when you said that Medicaid changed in July, June and July.
Right. Well, it changed actually probably. It was voted on and it was coming, but I think it was actually supposed to be effective like January 1 of 2013. When we started seeing the changes wasn't until mid-year, and I got my first letter from my first Medicaid-approved person that we had just gotten on board, and it said all these other services are now available. Now, I can't be exact, but I understand that the diversion program, as it used to be, does not exist.
I think Medicaid, you're correct.
Yeah, but Medicaid has expanded their services to provide in-home care because that is where the senior does best, and especially if there's a relative willing to help, that respite is huge for you, and now there's many other services that we're learning about kind of as we need to because every family's different, but many things are now being offered through just plain Florida Medicaid. It's no longer the diversion program, but the in-home aid was something that a few years ago you couldn't get paid for by Medicaid.
Well, I'm just letting you know that it's a lifesaver. I think had we not been able to make these arrangements, had I not said, come stay with me, you can't live alone, I don't know that he would still be here.
Correct. I don't believe he would either.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you for having this program, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're speaking with Jackie Harris-Chido. She's the founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida. We have lots of calls and emails, and we'll get to them after this break. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Jacqueline Harris-Chido. She's the founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida. I have an email. A couple are asking about your fee. So this first one, though, says from Janice, what can be done if an elderly person rejects a better quality of life to ensure that the children are left with as much money as possible? Can you give a clear definition of a good quality of life for some who do not know? And also would like to know your fee information.
Okay. Well, let me address the fee situation first. If my services are required, which would be I would be asked to work for a family or work with this lady that's asking the question, my rate is $95 an hour. However, if I am invited to go in and assess a situation and consult with the senior, the adult relatives, I charge nothing. In other words, sometimes it's, you know, I can propose many different solutions, but it may not be the one they're looking for.
So you do a consultation for free?
Yes.
I see.
Right.
Okay.
And that's never under an hour and usually can drag out to three depending on if the children are here. You know, sometimes they fly in and that's the opportune time to get everybody together and talk about it.
Or conference calls?
I don't do as much conferencing. I just drive all the time.
Okay. And before we get to the rest of Janice's question, I just want to say your website is elderservicesofflorida.com.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. So what she's asking about where the parents are saving the money for the to ensure that the children have a good quality of life.
Right.
And at the sacrificing their own. So what qualifies as a, how do you do a clear definition?
Well, that's probably the most common obstacle you'll face when there are children and when they have a decent relationship with their parents. The parents will do without in every way, shape, or form. Now, you know, I always say let's figure out who's controlling the money and who's actually the one that's trying not to spend it. If it is the family, if it is the elder person, if it is the mother or the father not wanting to spend it, you have to consider that as we age, our brain atrophies normally. I mean, I'm not talking Alzheimer's. I'm just saying that we have poor decision-making skills, and that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you going to let a 2- or 3-year-old, which is where you become mentally in your 90s many times, not always, make decisions? So then it's how much do you want to change your parents' life? If you like the fact that their house is stacked with papers and, you know, it's falling in on them and it doesn't bother you, then by all means that's the way they want to live, and let them. But if you're concerned about their safety, concerned about their home, you need to take action. And this is what I explain to people all the time. I can only present what can be done. The only time I'm not able to help an individual or a couple or their children is when they won't step up to the plate, when they won't start making decisions that need to be made.
Let's take
that's because they don't want to be left out of the will.
Right.
And sometimes they don't want to make their mother or father mad. Sometimes it's respect that they can't imagine this former CEO of a company who now can't make a decision. They just can't accept that, and
right.
and they won't go against him.
Okay.
Let's take another caller. This is Frank in Miami. Hi.
Hi. Just calling because I have an 88-year-old mom that I have her in an assisted living facility, but there's some changes. That diversion project is not giving as much money as they used to. That tends to be part of the problem. But it's a very confusing world to be living in, and I'm looking for some direction, perhaps as to where's the best way to turn, place to turn to get some good advice or indoor counseling.
Well, there's a couple of things. Part of what we do is help people find alternative places that are acceptable, that will accept what Medicaid will pay. They are out there, and there are some good ones. You just have to make up your mind, because when the diversion program was first designed, there was still a family contribution that had to be made.
Right.
And now that they're paying less, that means your family contribution is more. So before you run out of money, you need to sit and plan, because nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know how long your mom's going to live.
Right. Well,
so we need to sit and plan and look at, okay, these are your options. Which one best suits you and or your mother?
Well, she's also part of Humana, which is very confusing. It seems that they participate to some degree, and then they don't participate in other areas.
Right.
I just need some good guidance, that's all.
Well, and the other thing with the Humana is an HMO. It's called a Medicare Advantage program, but honestly, the best insurance out there is still Medicare. And we just recently, part of what we do is assess the future, or help assess the future needs of this particular individual, and say, let's get back on Medicare, because the places, the options you have, whether it's hospital, rehab, or long-term care, are better with Medicare than they are with any HMO.
It's not as easy to disenroll as one would think. Let me tell you.
No, we just did it a couple of times. And we got there right at the deadline of January 31.
Okay,
thanks.
All right, well,
thank you. Your call. And we'll move along to, Maria in Miami. Hi. Maria, you're up.
Yes, hi. I have a question regarding assisted living facilities. I have a family member, my mother-in-law. She's elderly. She could no longer care for herself, and because my husband and I work, really there was no other options for us. She's always qualified for Medicaid, and I believe she also had the diversion program mm-hmm. that she qualified for. Now, the ALF keeps coming up with certain surcharges and more charges, and
right.
every time she has any kind of increase, I'm talking about $6, anything in her Social Security, the gentleman is always aware and makes my husband aware of it, and there's never anything left for incidentals or anything of that nature. And
correct.
It's kind of difficult for us
mm-hmm.
to provide for incidentals when we're having difficulty just day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious, is that legal on that side? Because I don't know enough, and I'm not sure where to get more information on this.
Well, the truth is there's no one place you can go to find this information, because every assisted living, retirement community, skilled facilities owned by either a private group or a private individual or a big conglomerate. So, the truth is it legal? Probably in the original documents you signed, it had in those documents, the fact that they would pass along increases, this, that, and the other. The only thing you could look for is a different place for her where it's going to be less expensive, so there might be a little bit left for incidentals.
I see. Well, thank you so much for providing this topic. It's so important. I think we've forgotten how the elderly feel. I mean, we forgot about the feelings.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Helpless. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, thank Best you, of Maria. Luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Jackie, we have another emailer wants information on how she can contact you to discuss her family's concerns. And again, you say there's no charge for an initial consultation.
Right.
Is that
the
right?
The best way to reach me is my phone number and my cell, which even my office rings into my cell, or the reverse, 561-379-2773.
Okay, and we'll have a link to we'll have that on our website, elderservicesofflorida.com, and your phone number, 561-379-2773.
Correct.
Okay, this is Topical Currents. We're speaking with certified trust and financial advisor Jackie Chido, a founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida. One more short break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back. Topical Currents, Wednesday edition, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Jacqueline Harris Chido of the Elder Services of Florida. Let's move right along to the phones. We have a lot of people and not too much time. Anne in Pembroke Pines, hi.
Hi. I just want to make a couple of quick comments. One is regarding the long-term care ombudsman program. I'm a volunteer with that program in Broward. It's all over the country, actually. And it's sponsored by the Department of Elder Affairs. And the last caller that had a concern about the fees and the charges for her mother-in-law, that's the type of thing we do. We do site assessments, and we also respond to families and caregivers for the people in different types of long-term care facilities. And the one in, I don't have the phone number for the one in Miami, but it's on the internet. It's Florida Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program.
Florida Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Okay.
Jackie, do you have a comment about?
Thank you, Anne. There's not enough hours in the day for me to stop talking about this, but it is a program. The Ombudsman Program for Assisted Living and Skilled is a place I've called and I know well. I've actually encouraged family members to call whenever they feel there's not care provided for their loved one. And they do respond and they do come out and they can make a difference.
Okay, and that's Florida Long-Term Care Ombudsman, but is that just if you have long-term care, or is this all...
No. It's strictly a statewide program.
I see.
You call. No,
okay.
It has nothing to do with long-term care insurance.
Okay.
And we move along to Gus. He's in Pembroke Pines. Hey, Gus.
Good day to you guys. I have a particular question regarding Medicare. I still agree with Medicare being still the best insurance that you can get for elders, but an issue being with a lot of individuals at age 80, 90, that they don't have any issues with their health, but all they need is an aid. Medicare won't provide an aid unless you have a reason to go into Medicare, and you still have the most common form of fraud with home health agencies today being recertification just to have that aid. What are services that can be provided to individuals of low income that only have Medicare? What do you suggest?
Well, first of all, Medicare was never supposed to be a long-term care policy. Medicare provides what's called acute care, which means if you fall and break a hip and you go into the ER and then eventually have surgery and are put out, you'll be put out into home or in a rehab facility. If your choice is home, Medicare will pay for an aide, will pay for a nurse, will pay for rehab, you know, like physical therapy. But it's short-lived. It's never going to be more than 4 to 6 weeks. And if the doctor can justify extending it another 4 weeks for physical therapy, that's it. That's what Medicare is for. It is not a long-term care anything.
Okay.
All right, Gus.
Thank you so very much.
Hope
thank
we helped you.
You
out. And next up, it's Gary in Cooper City. Hi. Gary,
hello.
You're up.
Thank you. Jackie, I wondered if you could just point me in the right direction. My mother's 85, living at home, no longer drives, is in fair condition, but We're looking for somebody for companionship and getting her back and forth to the doctor, shopping, those simple kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Can
you recommend somebody?
Well, there's a couple of things involved here. If you can go to an agency and tell them what you're looking for, and they can probably provide that. If you want somebody more specifically designed to complement and get along with your mother, I would suggest a couple of things you could do. You could actually just start calling people you know and asking them. You can start with the church. There's a lot of very healthy, retirees that would love to help your mom. Mm. There's a lot of places to go to find good ones. But with me, the difference is when I find somebody for you, I will do the background check, and I will be the one that spot checks what they're doing, and I'll also be the one that if you don't like them or your mother doesn't like them, I just tell them and you don't have to bother. They don't ever go back.
So you can be the hatchet woman then.
I can be the one they don't like. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's good because the elderly don't like to hurt people's feelings. They don't like people to lose their jobs. They worry about that sort of thing. So they'll put up with, you know, people being on their cell phone and not taking care of them because they don't want those people to lose their jobs. They feel badly for them. Sometimes the caregivers do it on purpose. They make them feel badly. Those are the ones that don't last with me. They usually won't get through the front door.
Jackie, one last question. Is there any concerns regarding getting somebody from the church or a friend or something that's driving them around and is being compensated for that, but they are not licensed or insured for that? Is that going to be an issue?
Well, there's a couple of ways to go about that. You can call if your mom has a car. Does she have a car?
No longer. I've taken
no longer has a car. Okay, because some of my seniors like to be driven around in their own cars, so we get extra insurance and we cover the driver. In the case of somebody you would hire, you would definitely want to do the background check, run the driver's license, run the insurance, and then make sure that the insurance company, even if you have to call yourself, knows that that's what this person is doing, because there needs to be coverage.
Sure. So this is an occupation, not just
yes, it
I'm
is, and many people
table.
Are doing it. I get a call all the time from, you know, somebody that was in one career, and now this is what they're doing. They're driving people around.
Okay. As long as their insurance company knows it, we're okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Do they put a rider on the policy or something?
Yes, usually there is a rider on the policy.
And we'll move along.
And it costs more, you know, but it's not unwielding. I mean, it's something that somebody could afford to do if this is all they wanted to do.
Okay.
And this is Hedwig in Miami. I'm short on time, Hedwig, so please be succinct.
I need to find someone who would help me put together those things that I want to throw out, those things that I want to keep. I don't have family. I'm 84. And frankly, what I'm trying to do is,
consolidate your life.
Consolidate. Make your life more efficient.
Not only that, but consolidate as far as living quarters is concerned and even location. But my problem is that I walk with a cane, so that means I need somebody to do silly things like hold the trash bag while I throw things in it.
Right.
Climb a ladder so they can change a light bulb.
Right.
Take a bag of garbage downstairs to the bin.
Well, and that's what I do best, is find people that are needing help but not medical. If there's a medical need, I have to go to agencies just like everyone else and get a nurse or get someone qualified. But for companions, that's where I, again, use my network. I have a huge network. I'm originally from Miami, so I still stay in touch with tons of people there. And I find someone that, after we discuss what your needs are, we sit down and determine what you can afford and how many times a week and how, you know, and the other options, which are many, even if you are alone. There's still options.
Jackie, what is your area that you serve? Is it all of South Florida?
Miami to Vero, and I actually can serve people outside that area depending on the needs. I have a client in DeLand, for example, which is like, 200 miles from me.
Okay, and the Keys?
And the Keys.
Okay. All right, well, it's been a pretty informative hour. We've been speaking with Jacqueline Harris Chido. She's a certified trust and financial advisor. We didn't even get to the trusts and who needs them. Well,
and who can manage them.
And who can manage them.
Right.
But I guess you do take care of that as well.
And, you know, that's another aspect of what I do that is misconstrued or there's a misconception that it's only for the wealthy. It actually works tremendously well for the average person who wants to avoid probate, wants somebody to slide into that position when they can no longer take care of themselves and simplify their life as the last caller. A trust is the perfect situation. The only difference is that the corporate world won't look at someone with a small amount of money, but
right.
I will.
Okay, it's Jacqueline Chido, the founder and CEO of Elder Services of Florida. That's elderservicesofflorida.com and 561-379-2773. And we'll have that on our website, WLRN.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Our producer is Richard Ive, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org, and more information as well at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Drop us a like. And tomorrow we'll just slow down with psychologist Stephanie Brown. Are we addicted to fast and faster and fear of slowing down? Also, Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining with our favorite wine columnist, Fred Tasker. And on this day in 1914, 100 years ago, the birth of writer William Burroughs in St. Louis. The author of Naked Lunch, he was of the Burroughs Adding Machine family, and a founder of the Beat Generation. And happy birthday to Barry University in Miami Shores. On this day in 1940, 74 years ago, the school was incorporated as Barry College. It became a university in 1981. Shaquille O'Neal received a Barry degree in 2012. The Shaq Attack. And one more while we remember the patented skyhook. On this day in 1989, 35 years ago, Lakers center Kareem Abdul-Jabbar becomes the first NBA player to score 38,000 points. 38,000. His team's won pro championships six times. So we leave with a thought from William Burroughs, who actually coined the musical term heavy metal. In the U.S., you have to be deviant or exist in extreme boredom. Make no mistake, all intellectuals are deviants in the U.S. Bonnie looks puzzled. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, stay tuned for Here and Now from NPR News.